Are you happy, 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 baby?
You wanna play? You wanna play?
Are you happy, 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 baby? Happy, 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 baby?
Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen and Joe.
What's up, brother?
What is up with you?
Just trying to recover from our trip.
Yeah, I'm still tired. I am like whooped.
Me too. Totally tired. If y'all hadn't seen, Joe and I went to the most haunted city,
yes,
in our opinion, in North America. We went to the one, the only, the Big Easy, New Orleans, Louisiana. Can we get real applause for that?
Oh, here, hold on. Here, let me find it. There it is.
Thank you very much. Anyway, so Joe and I had an amazing time down in New Orleans. Oh, we kept saying it wrong. We kept saying New Orleans, and it's Narlins.
New Orleans.
Narlins. we kept getting corrected, but that's okay. You know, we're Yankees. We just, didn't know how to pronounce half the stuff down there since it's all in French.
Oh, I know.
But Joe, what was your favorite part about New Orleans?
Oh, man, I tell you what, I don't know.
It's hard to say, huh?
Yeah. Getting an Uber driver after walking 6 miles.
Pretty much. We have not recovered from all that walking. It is definitely a walking city, and you have to be very cautious when you're walking because there's not a flat sidewalk.
No.
The streets are lumpy. The sidewalks are all wabberjawed.
Wabberjawed.
I don't know if that's even a word.
I still think the best time I had, though, there was at the Indian parade.
That was those costumes so of the amazing. Indians. Joe and I are so sunburned. I can see his nose is like sunburned. I am peeling on my forehead. And it was overcast, and the sun came out a little bit, but we forgot to put on sunscreen.
We were outside most of the time.
And it was amazing.
It's funny because before the show, I mentioned about going downtown from here, which is about 4 to 6 miles, and we walked that,
Yeah, in random patterns.
Yeah.
But
our first night there, we walked to the French Quarter, and from there we came home, and the next day, me and Jen went on our cemetery tour. And took an Uber driver, and it was like a 3-minute drive because he took us a different way than what we walked. And then the next day we walked, and it was only like a 10-minute walk downtown.
It was crazy. So we stayed in Marigny, which is, I didn't realize how close to the water we were.
Yeah, that's
really
what I mean.
We really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. Before I went, I was really concerned because, I had heard some things that it's there are a little bit of sketchy areas, and it is. But, I had a fabulous time. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. There was so much to do and so much. I mean, we couldn't even fit a fraction of the things that you could do into the time. I think we were there, 4 or 5 days?
4 days, yeah.
4 days. And, but we did pack some stuff in, didn't we? Joe and I, we went to the Museum of Death.
Yes, the Museum of Death.
That was very interesting. And a couple of times I got the heebie-jeebies, like, I was getting, like, sick feeling, and, like, I gotta get out of here. It was, not so much, like, the what I was looking at, but just a general in feeling in there.
Well, you would think of, objects getting haunted by energy and all that, and they had the real stuff in there from serial killers, from murder victims, murder weapons,
old funeral procession type things. Mm-hmm. They had shrunken heads in there. It's just a very eclectic mix of everything that has to do with death.
Plus we hit the voodoo shops and all that.
We went to all kinds of the voodoo shops and Marie Laveau's shop, which was really, really interesting. Just learning more about her life and who she was. My favorite thing, since you asked.
Did I?
No.
Oh.
was the food.
Oh, my God.
You guys.
I gained 20 pounds.
Well, I don't know. We walked it off, though, pretty much. I've never been to a city where the food was so incredible, like amazing. Like every place we went to a place called the Red Shoe Diner or Ruby Slipper Diner.
I thought was just there, but I guess it's a chain. But I tell you what,
it was amazing, but it didn't look like it. It looked like it was just one of these little neighborhood local places. The food was incredible. Oh my God. I can't wait to go back just to eat. But yeah, you know, especially I'm not a seafood person.
Yeah.
But there were so many selections that weren't, you know, seafood and just incredible. And could have used a couple more meals there. But topic of the show. Go ahead, Joe.
Dana had a hangover at the first day there.
Oh, I know.
At like 9 in the morning, she had a hangover.
Well, we had mimosas at the Ruby Slipper. I had a cranberry mimosa or raspberry mimosa. I don't even know. And she had a peach Bellini, and it was delicious. And oh, my gosh.
It hit her hard.
Yeah. Well, traveling and being dehydrated, too, you know, that'll hit you hard. But, man, we had a good time.
So, people think, you know, that they have the most haunted city and all that, but truthfully, the most haunted city in the United States is New Orleans. There are so many reasons why it's haunted.
Yeah, so we want to cover some of those for you guys today. We're going to tell you why New Orleans is so haunted and what makes that up, and maybe a couple little ghost stories you guys. So, Joe, tell everybody kind of just the background on New Orleans.
Well, there's been people there ever since the 1300s that they know of. Okay. It wasn't settled till 1718 and officially became a city, but I don't know when. I didn't.
It was in the 1700s, I believe.
Yeah, and one of the big things is they had fires. So there were two major fires that they had. One was in 1788 and the other one was in 1794. Now, the one in 1798 destroyed 212 buildings. The one in 1794 pretty much destroyed everything except for like four buildings in the city.
Which are still there to this day. Joe and I took a tour with, you know, like a horse and carriage type tour, but it was a mule. It wasn't even a horse.
Yeah,
it was a mule.
I had no clue. And her name looked like a horse to me.
Her name was Marie, and she wanted to go back to the stables very badly. Yeah. She kept turning. The driver was trying to steer her, and she kept turning the way she wanted to turn, and she wanted to go back to the stables. But I don't blame her.
Mm-hmm.
She's been working all day. And then Joe and I, after we passed that building, that one of the, you know, remaining buildings from the fire, you know, the 1700 fire, there was a protest.
Yeah.
Tell people about the protest.
It was the hotel workers, I believe, and they're protesting something, and they just all sat down in the middle of the road. It's like, come on, people.
There's thousands of people there, and then all these people sit down in the middle of the road. It blocked up traffic going every way. We had to take the horse and carriage way out of the way, and this poor, I'm just going to call it horse, mule, whatever. We'll just call her Marie. Poor Marie. She just wanted to go. Eat some hay and hang out with the other studs or whatever.
So, you know, one of the big things that killed a lot of people was the fires. And there is one boys' school that is at the Andrew Jackson Hotel. Now, this is known to be a very haunted, and it's haunted by the boys that were killed in the fire, because the fire happened in the middle of the night. Seeing that it happened in the middle of the night, people didn't even realize that the fire was going on, and about 90% of them died in their sleep, okay? Now, I go back to the Andrew Jackson Hotel, which was a school for boys, and if you think about it, this was back in that day, kids didn't go to school. They worked on the farm, and that was it. You know, so basically the brightest of the bright were at this school, okay? And during the fire, all the boys died. And also the caretaker died. So the hotel is haunted by these kids. They're not evil. They're just mischievous. I can't say that word.
Mischievous.
Mischievous.
There you go.
Who is mischievous? I don't know her.
Well, she's probably at that burlesque show we went to.
But it's known that, you know, guests that stay there see the boys roaming the halls. They hear the boys laughing, joking, running. But the weird one is the caretaker. Now, the caretaker is always seen very subtle, like he's almost protective, but yet ashamed because he didn't protect the boys.
Yeah.
So every time his ghost is seen, it's almost like not hiding, but like whimpering, I want to say, maybe. I don't know if that's right to say. But that was one of the places where we know it's haunted, and we know it's haunted by those boys.
And there's been numerous guests that hear the boys running up and down the hall. They hear them laughing. They move stuff in the room. They've seen them out on the balcony of this hotel and out in the street in front of the hotel. And, you know, this is like documented. People go in. The tour guide that was taking a drone, he told us that people check in and then all this stuff happens. They check out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't, because we like really be down with that. But, you know, and to people who aren't, you know, aware of the paranormal, you know how people would be. But yeah, but it's interesting because it's still a working hotel, and I wouldn't mind staying there. I'd see what happens.
Oh, heck yeah.
Be cool.
It's so funny because we knew that we were going to the most haunted city. So we were all prepared to do these ghost hunts, ghost tours, all that, but it just turned out to be too touristy.
Yeah.
There's just too many people to do any kind of real investigations.
Thousands and thousands of people down there, like just walking around and milling around. So it was really hard to, I mean, any evidence you would EVP or anything would probably be contaminated because there's music playing, there's bars, there's people drinking and laughing and throwing beads. But it would be interesting to maybe walk around at like 4 o'clock in the morning when after the bars close and just...
Well, some of them are open 24 hours.
Yeah, that's true. We did see a lot of bars open 24 hours. Can you imagine?
Like, I can't imagine being a bartender at 4 at night.
Well, you know, I mean, if that's the lifestyle you live. But it would be interesting to see what kind of people are in there at 4 o'clock. Here's a funny story. Joe and our group and I, we were walking back to our rental that we stayed in. And we have to walk through the neighborhoods, you know. And we go by this corner bar and they're having a male review there. And they're like, come on in. I'm like, no, no, it's okay. It's okay. And they're like, no, you don't have to pay. Come on in. And we walk in and these guys are up there doing their thing. And I was like, all right. Another. And Joe's like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I'm going home. It's only a block away.
But it was fun.
Yeah, fun it times. Was a blast.
So anyways, Joe, what else would cause or be the cause of this city to be so haunted, to have
so many hauntings? You have the pirates. And people think, oh, pirates. They weren't like that. These were real pirates. These were people that would walk up to you and slit your throat just to have fun.
Yeah. So the, you know, the history of these pirates are they were merchant marines. They were prisoners who, you know, a lot of the colonies like England, Spain, France sent people, prisoners to New Orleans to populate it and to, almost like that was their sentence to be sentenced to this place because it was such a horrible living conditions in the beginning. You know, they hot, swampy, no, you know, running water. People just did their business and threw their business out in the streets.
Yeah. Pirate's Alley. Okay, there's a cathedral. It's the oldest cathedral in the United States. And on either side of the cathedral is called Pirate's Alleys. And the reason they call it that is because that's where the pirates hung out. And there was murders, you know, gambling, everything you can imagine that would cause.
Prostitution.
Well, I'm talking for violent death and that, you know, for spirits to come out. And there were times where the pirates would just walk up behind someone and kill them for fun. And if you go down Pirate's Alley next to the cathedral, it still has the drainage troughs down the middle of the road.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And then one of the places, buildings that I don't even know what the building was used for now. It almost looked like a warehouse, but who knows? You know, what, I didn't see it on the other side, but they said that was the court or the prison
mm-hmm.
where they kept these prisoners. And in these 6x8 cells, was it?
4x8.
4x8. 4x8 cells with nothing, like just metal, no bathrooms. Who knows how many prisoners, pirates they stuck in there with you. They would beg for fresh straw
mm-hmm.
to lay on, but they never got it. They just got gross, disgusting, because there's no bathrooms. You know, you're just, ugh, the bugs.
Yeah.
You know, fleas, lice. Ugh.
So you basically
got the willies
if
now.
If you think about, you know, we keep going back to why is it haunted? The fires were a major deal. A lot of people died and didn't even know they died. That's the thing. They, you know, we talk about that all the time about how ghosts don't know they're dead. They didn't even know they died because the smoke inhalation got them first, and then they burnt to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 80% of the city died, or burnt, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the city burnt, and 90% of them people that died didn't even know they died because they were sleeping. And there were cases of people running out in the streets on fire.
Oh my gosh!
And dying in the streets.
It's a horrible,
so
horrible thing.
Yeah, I mean, you had the slave trade, you had executions.
Yeah, there were, wasn't there like 26 pirates executed at one time down by Pirates Alley?
Yeah.
So there, you know, you probably got some revengeful ghosts of, you know, murderers, violent criminals.
If you're violent in life, you're going to be violent as a ghost.
Yeah, you could be.
So other things, you know, you had the Mississippi, you had drownings going on there. You had, you know, just tons of stuff.
And any kind of storm, you know, like even the modern day.
Well, Katrina, there's 1,800 people that died.
Yeah, it was.
Plus suicides afterwards. You were telling me about that person that committed suicide at the hotel.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot. And still to this day, you know, people have post-traumatic stress. But just think of, I mean, even the conditions back in the 1700s or 1800s, you know, you didn't have any kind of modern way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no way to get fresh water. There would have been sewage. There would have been dead bodies floating. I mean, tell the listener about the currents they were talking about in the Mississippi River. I mean, just looking at it.
Yeah.
Like if you fell in that water, there's so many different currents running.
Mm-hmm. You can't swim. No, you can't swim because for one thing, the current's so fast. I think when we were there, they said it was 5 to 15 miles an hour or something like that. But you have what they call jetties
mm-hmm.
or like whirlpool type deal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, drowning is a huge thing in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They find bodies just floating in the river, you know, back then all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one major thing that caused the most deaths in New Orleans was yellow fever. Okay. Over 41,000 people died between 1817 and 1905 by yellow fever. There were so many bodies that they were lined up on the sidewalks, just piled up as far as you could see, just piles of them on the sidewalks.
They were saying 200 people per day were dying from yellow fever
mm-hmm.
at the peak. 200 people. And, you know, it's not a large area. You know, if you look at the map of New Orleans and mm-hmm. down in the French Quarter where most of this was happening and most of the people were living, that's terrible. Can you even imagine this?
The city is smaller than Toledo.
Yeah.
And back in the 1700s when this was happening, it was even smaller then. If you look at a map of New Orleans, you can see the grid patterns mm-hmm. in the streets. Like, I think, now don't quote me, but like the Lower Ninth Ward, which had a lot of devastation in Katrina, wasn't even around in the 1700s. That
could have been swamp area.
It was all swamp area.
I mean, it's so weird because as you walk down the streets, they're telling you there were hundreds of bodies stacked up here.
Mm-hmm.
And the bodies were in all different states of decomposition. What yellow fever does to you, it attacks your liver. So you turn jaundiced, your eyes turn yellow, your skin turns yellow. You bleed from many different
everywhere.
And then eventually you cough up this black liquid, which is just like, what was it they called it?
It's dried up blood.
Dried up blood, yeah. Coagulated blood and bile. And they didn't know how it spread.
Yeah.
They thought it was airborne, but it was mosquito borne.
Because mm-hmm. It's a swamp. I mean, there's tons of mosquitoes down there. And they had different ways to try to combat it. They thought it was bad air. So they actually would like, I think it was tar
yeah.
that they said. I was trying to remember what they said, but it was tar or something like that, that they put fires all over the city and made smog. And that smog was very toxic, which killed more people.
Yeah. It did keep the mosquitoes away, and that's why they thought it was airborne. But, And then they would have just, I don't even know what I wanted to ask that guy what they did with all the bodies. Like, did they burn them? Did they dump them in the river? They couldn't have buried them because you can't bury the dead in New Orleans.
I think that a lot of them went into the river.
Ugh,
I remember him saying something about that, how a lot of them went into the river. And that, you know, being the Mississippi, a lot of the bodies that die in New Orleans end up in the water, whether they're murdered or something.
Yeah. And you wouldn't see. It's so murky. And Joe and I took a paddle boat cruise down, up and down the Mississippi with our friends, and you just look at the water and you can see the water is, there's so many different patterns and way the water is moving. Mm-hmm. It's the oddest thing. I've never seen anything, and I'm pretty well traveled and I've seen, you know, a lot of things, but it was just so bizarre how the water moved. And they said that the bottom is just, you know, full of stuff anyways. So, you know, you could easily dump a body in there, move so fast, it would just be, you know, out in the ocean before, you know, if it even made it that far, it could just get tore up or whatever. Gross. Okay, gross.
So we ended up on that riverboat cruise. Mm-hmm. We ended up at a battlefield for like the War of 1812. And on that battlefield, there were 2,459 soldiers that died on that battlefield. I don't know how many days where we were standing. So that is another extremely haunted location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a cemetery there as well, but we didn't have time to get to it because you just physically wouldn't have time to walk and then get back to the boat. But yeah, it was interesting. It was built on a canal, so there was a canal there, so you have more, you know, swampy water.
Yeah.
You've got a war going on. You've got people, you know, getting bit by mosquitoes and contracting different diseases. I think smallpox made an appearance at one time too, and probably some other, you know, tuberculosis. I did see a tuberculosis hospital when we were driving by, which is interesting because a lot of the tuberculosis hospitals are famously haunted.
Yeah.
And this one didn't look like it was open, but it didn't look like it was abandoned either, so I wasn't sure. But yeah, I mean, just the amount of people who died within such a short, I want to say short span of time, but like 200 years, you know, being it is one of the oldest cities in America, and they had some evidence of the Native Americans being there long before, you know, the Spanish had come over in 1542. I think De Soto had come over with an expedition. So you've probably got Native American burials underneath, you know, multitude of buildings, structures, rebuilds. We also went to, interesting enough, a restaurant that had an owner who had committed suicide back in probably what, like the 1800s so?
Yeah.
Late 1800s, early 1900s. And they set a table out for this person every single day. And you can go back and look at the table, which I thought was really,
there's
really
cool.
There's
also a seance room upstairs.
Yeah, and we didn't get to go up because they were having a private party, which we weren't invited to.
But the history behind that building was the person got it from his mother, and he lost the business. And he was so distraught that he lost the business, and he didn't want to, you know, see his mother. And the only way that he knew that he couldn't go to heaven was to commit suicide. So there's a couple of different stories where one of the stories says that he hung himself off the balcony, and the other story is that he shot himself in the upstairs room, mm-hmm. which is now the seance room.
Okay.
Which is more plausible because there's more people that say that he shot himself mm-hmm. than
hung himself
off the balcony.
Yep. He got into gambling and got swindled and lost his fortune.
Yeah, that's the thing. He actually set up a gambling place in the hotel and lost the hotel in a game.
Well, they said that the con artists and the swindlers were so rampant that when new people came, they were so good at what they did that they just would gain their confidence.
Well, that's what happened to him. He
take all their money.
Yeah, they actually have like spies that learn everything they can about you and use that to their advantage.
Yeah, that was really interesting how that all worked.
But yellow fever was the biggest. I mean, that because it's such a swampy area in that and it travels by mosquito, like we said.
No.
41,000 people died in the city that can't bury their dead, that had no way of controlling. Now, what they would do is they had the Irish immigrants would be the body collectors because they were disposable. You know, they knew that these people were going to get yellow fever from these other people, they thought. You know, what they didn't know was mosquitoes, but they did get it. And plus they would get other things because of the rotting bodies in that they had to collect.
Well, you know, everybody's got to have some kind of job. Yeah.
But another thing about New Orleans is the slave trade. Now, the slave trade in New Orleans was a little different, okay? Now, there was a law, it was a French law, where the slaves had been treated better in the city, and they also had a day off. On Sundays, they would all congregate in Jackson Square, and there was also a law where slaves could not own drums, okay? Now, in New Orleans, they didn't have that law. So you had all these slaves that gathered. They practiced their religion, and one of the laws was that the slaves and everybody that lived in New Orleans had to be Catholic. So what they did was they took their religion from Africa or wherever they came from, mixed it with the Catholic religion, and that's how you get voodoo, okay? So they were practicing a lot of voodoo rituals, which people didn't understand. They had a chance to sing and play their music, which turned into the modern-day jazz and the New Orleans style. But with the slave trade, though, even though they were still treated good in New Orleans per the standards of the world, they were still treated really bad.
Right.
And that would cause hauntings also because these people were treated so bad that they would go with their voodoo religion.
I'm sure there's a lot of anger and resentment. You know, I'm just so surprised that with all of the death that's taken place there, that you just wouldn't see something walking down the street or peeking out of a window. And I don't know if it's just because there's just so many people there that you just can't tell, or maybe you just need to, you know, find like a quieter place. But I would not be surprised if you just didn't have a paranormal experience just walking down one of the alleys or streets.
There are a lot of stories of people having apparition accounts that they didn't know they were apparitions until they turn around and they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about New Orleans is there's so many people that dress up in vintage clothing and vintage ways. You could be talking to someone or see someone that could be a ghost and you don't know it.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few alleyways that are known to have apparitions in them. A lot of people have taken pictures of them.
I had a lady come up to us when we were at the swamp. We took a swamp boat tour, which I did not enjoy at all because it was very rough.
What do they call them? The fan boats or airboats?
Airboats.
Yeah.
And this lady came up and she said, "I see your paranormal thing on your shirt. I got to show you this picture. My friend took a picture at one of the hotels." And I'm not kidding you guys, this picture. And I asked her if she would leave it on our page. Hopefully she will. Is a little girl. That's what I feel like. It was, it looked like a child. I'll just say a child. Total black shadow of a child with glowing eyes in the hotel. And I was like, oh my God, it was so clear.
It was so clear. It's, you know, I look at a lot of photos and I can tell a lot of them that are just like, come on, people.
Yeah. No, this one just was like, it was so amazing. And I was like, I got to go back and look through my, you know, photographs to see if maybe I just missed something, because there could be something in the background.
I took a lot of pictures of alleyways in that, especially there was one certain alleyway, and I'll try to throw it up on our Facebook page. I didn't see anything in my photos, but it's a haunted alleyway that people have taken tons of photos and get apparitions in.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, just the whole vibe of New Orleans is just, I loved it. I love the energy. There's so much energy. There's no, you know, lack of energy for spirits to draw upon there.
Oh, yeah.
At all. The energy was great. The food was great. People were very open and friendly and,
that's what shocked me, because everything I heard about New Orleans was, watch your back.
Yeah,
put your wallet in your front pocket. Yeah,
which I could see, because the crowds could get really heavy at times.
And I spent about 5 minutes on Bourbon Street. I was like, get me the heck out of here.
No, it was.
So we went down the Indian Parade, and there were probably 15,000 people or so. You know. Of every race.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was
and
just a nice
everybody
blend.
Was so cool.
It was a great time. And if you guys don't know what the Indian Parade is, Google it. It's, you know, a heritage parade. And these people make the most elaborate outfits you've ever seen, with thousands of beads and feathers and colorful. And they march down with music playing. And it's just a, you know, it's just amazing, fun time. It was just something. It was like historic.
Yeah.
It was like you were taking part of some of history.
You are.
You know, so that
the suits are wore 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Takes them all year to make them. They wear them 3 times, and then they either take them apart or they're put in museums.
Yeah, that was really cool.
But, you know, not to sound weird or nothing, but we were like the only white people there, and they were the nicest people you ever want to meet. I had a person stand in front of me. I was standing up on the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked back and noticed that I was there. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, you're cool, dude. You're, you know?
There were so many people trying to get pictures of all the people in the costumes. But no, it was just a really, really nice thing. People were, there was guys just like walking down the street with coolers, selling beer out of their coolers. Or like,
it was like a traveling bars.
Oh, it was great. Food. People were making food and barbecuing. And this one lady was making drinks. She had pineapples. She was cutting up pineapples and putting like fruity drinks in them and selling them. And then she ran out of pineapples right before we got there. I'm like, dang it, we wanted a pineapple drink. But we got it without the pineapple.
Yeah.
We just got it in the cup. plenty of spirits there, and I'm not talking about the ghostly
kinds. Yeah,
it's one of probably, I would think they probably sell more alcohol in New Orleans than Las Vegas or New York.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure. Oh my gosh. But you guys check it out. I mean, like, if you're into the paranormal and you want to have some haunted experiences, there's no lack of it at all in New Orleans.
And if anybody is listening that is in New Orleans that has a paranormal group, please get a hold of us, because the next time we go, we're still going to be tourists, but we're going to do some ghost hunts, real ghost
hunts.
Yeah,
I'd like to get into a place, right? Like, be able to, like, get in some kind of building. I would love to be able to get into, like, the Sultan's Palace or the LaLaurie Mansion.
Well, let's talk about the LaLaurie Mansion for a minute and find out.
All right, I'll tell everybody just a little bit of the background of it. So the LaLaurie Mansion is probably best known for, you know, they did a American Horror Story, did a season like New Orleans based on that. But Dr. Louis LaLaurie and his wife Delphine moved to the Creole Mansion in the French Quarters in 1832. And they were very well-known socialites. They had great style. They threw fabulous parties. They, you know, socialized with everybody. They had giant parlors and bright chandeliers, mahogany doors, you know, just extremely ornate mansion. It almost took up like a whole block, a city block. And they had people from, you know, elite, I guess you would say, in Louisiana come to this mansion. but it has a very, very dark, dark history. And one of the reasons it is so haunted is because Delphine LaLaurie, they rumored to have her husband and her, it's, they say it's mostly her, but, you know, he was a doctor, so he may have participated in the torture of slaves in the attic. So they had, you know, accounts of people being mutilated, tortured, burnt, disfigured, had their bones broken and reset in odd positions. They tore the flesh off of people. They would tear their genitals off. They would, you know, murder these slaves like it was nothing, like they were just, you know, animals.
Like experimental things.
Terrible,
yeah.
Terrible things. And the only reason she got caught was because she had chained a slave girl to the stove and she was scheduled to go up to the attic, and she would said she would rather die than have to go up to the attic. So she set herself on, well, I think she either set herself on fire or she set the kitchen on fire. And when the firemen came, they broke down the door to the attic to make sure there was no more embers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they found all of these people. There were body parts scattered around. There were people confined in cages. There were makeshift operating tables. There were human organs thrown in buckets, heads laying around. There were like grisly souvenirs just stacked up on shelves. There's whips and paddles and fingernails ripped out, eyes poked out, people hung in shackles with holes drilled into their brains. I mean, just like horrific. So the firemen go in there and they find these poor souls in there. So the LaLauries escaped. They were going to be, you know, arrested and put on trial. I would think it would have been a swift trial and they probably would have been executed for it, but they escaped. Don't know how. They was rumors that they had gone to Upper Louisiana, and then there was also rumors that they had gone back to France, but they were never heard from again. But people who have owned that house have reported all types of hauntings and just, you know, seeing things, hearing things. They are found bodies buried in the backyard, you know, like just the greatest recipe for haunting that there could be. I wish we would have been able to get inside, but, you know, we walked by it.
Oh, yeah.
We walked by it. Yeah. I mean, how devastating. I mean, like to commit suicide versus, you know, the other option of
you
just
knew what,
going. Yeah.
Yeah. She knew what was going to happen.
Knew, yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine. But anyways, yeah, so, and that's just one of many, many stories of the haunts of New Orleans. There's the Sultan's Palace, which I think we'll get into in another show. Same type of, you know, situation, ghastly things going on in there. But, you know, just I don't think there isn't a block that isn't haunted or no, that somebody had passed away on.
That's what I was saying. I think every single building has had some kind of death, because we've mentioned it before on the show about how when they would have deaths, the funeral would be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that all those houses in there have had some dealings with death.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, funeral homes weren't prevalent until like the 1910s going into the 20s. So, you know, that's why they call it the parlor, because they would lay you out in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it actually was the death room until they renamed it to give it a more positive spin on it. But, you know, like Joe and I give New Orleans 5 stars on everything, food, hauntings. You know, the place we stayed was amazing. The neighborhood we were in was incredible. It's the best and the worst place, right? Like, everything is fabulous, but it's really, really tough to see some of the things that we saw down there. There's a ton of homeless people. We got a tour of the lower Ninth Ward, and it's been 14 years since Katrina, and still devastated, right? Still homes with the exes from the fire department who went through it. Still empty lots, people not returned. People still having, you know, issues and struggling with what they went through. So, you know, pray for those souls that lost their lives there tragically or otherwise. And get down there, because if you want to have a paranormal experience, I'm telling you, you just turn the corner and there may be something.
And like I said, we're going back. Really don't have time to go back for a few months now, but yeah. We will be back. We're going to hopefully do a paranormal investigation, a real one, not one of the tours. I knew the tour was going to be kind of touristy,
mm-hmm.
But I love those because of the information that you get.
Yeah, they, you know, it wasn't just like they were making up some hocus pocus. And there were some tours that were doing that. Mm-hmm. I could hear that. But the tour guy we had was, he was very knowledgeable about the real happenings.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, next week, a week from when this podcast comes out, we will be at the Midwest Parafest in Toledo, Ohio. It's at the Toledo Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. So put on by Erie Shores Paranormal, which is a fabulous group. Heather and Chad do an amazing job with this convention and in a great historic location. So come out, meet some celebrities, mm-hmm. shake some hands, kiss some babies, see some ghosts.
Tell us your ghost stories.
Yeah, come by the booth. We'd love to hear if you had some paranormal experience and, you know, tell us about it and we'll get you on the show.
We've got some great interviews lined up.
We do.
We also have our cousin who lives down there had some extremely good paranormal experiences. She's going to get a hold of us. I'm going to try to get it in next week, but we were trying to set up our schedule, so I can't guarantee it's going to be next week, but we're going to find out the true hauntings from New Orleans.
Yeah.
True experienced hauntings from New Orleans. She has got some very interesting stories, so stay tuned for that. It'll be a little better than this one. We just wanted to cover pretty much why New Orleans is so haunted, and then we'll dig a little deeper into the different locations. I'm working on getting one of the tour guides that we had for our cemetery tour to tell us all about the cemeteries of New Orleans, which is unbelievably, unbelievably, just how they do it, why they do it, and what happens in the tombs.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be really, really interesting.
So thank you for listening. Like we said, Midwest Parafest is next. Yep. Come see us at Midwest Parafest.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Jeff Belanger just signed up. He's going to be there, plus tons of great speakers.
Yep. And us.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Stay ghosty, everybody.
All right, goodbye.